Sir Man David by Brother Harry Tennant. Chapter 3 continues. The hunt was on in earnest. Not satisfied with David's banishment, Thorn had determined on the extermination of his successor, though he had nothing to fear at David's hand. In the midst of this uncertainty, Jonathan, the king's son, came to David. It's a touching tribute to Jonathan's persistence and to the love which he held in which he held David, that he was able to find his friend, even though his father sought in vain. "My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Proverbs 3, verses 21 to 26. Jonathan's purpose in seeking David was to assure him of his love and trust, and to strengthen his hand in God. To strengthen his hand in God. How beautifully this expresses true friendship. Jonathan's heart and prayers had travelled the rugged miles with David, and with dismay he'd seen the development of his father's hatred, and he knew the futility of all his father's schemes. "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also my father knoweth." "Thou shalt be king" was not only a confession of faith, it was the reconciliation of his own mind to the purpose of God. Humility took precedence over pride, faith over self-aspiration, love of his friend over the blood link with his father. Jonathan was David's twin spirit, and this was their last meeting this side of the grave. What awaits them in the age of David's greater son has not been made known. "I shall be next unto thee" was not to be in this life, but who knows what the next may bring. Their covenant of friendship renewed, they parted. Meanwhile, the men of Ziph had become aware of David's whereabouts, and they told the king, urging him to come south to take him. In readiness for this, the Ziphites tried to pinpoint David's exact location, and in the process alerted the camp, which at once moved south into the rocks in the wilderness of Maon. This was still in the hill country of Judah, where the prophet Gad had bidden David to hide, and less than 20 miles from Hebron, the city of refuge, where Abraham lived and where Sarah died. There's a conical hill near Maon, and the indications are that when Saul's troops arrived, they well nigh surrounded the hill in which their prey was hidden. The situation was desperate. Encirclement might mean having to fight one's way out, and David had no desire to resist Saul by violence. His heart had composed a little psalm, guided by the Spirit, which rested upon him. "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." Psalm 54. Relief came unexpectedly. A messenger arrived in Saul's camp. The Philistines have made a raid. So Saul ceased to seek David, though he was within a whisker of finding him, and went against the Philistines. David named the place Selah Hamahelikoth, the rock of divisions or escape. And who is the rock? "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. For thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Psalm 31. Prayer daily at the door of God's heavenly court was David's strength. Converse with the God of heaven in reverence, in trust, in pleading, in helplessness, sustained the man who was living on the knife's edge. The Lord Jesus Christ found in the experiences of David a remarkable parallel with his own last days when he was brought to Calvary and was encircled by his enemies. Escape there was none. Deliverance was there in plenty. As David had faced the lion and the bear, so our Lord faced death. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. He entered into the lion's mouth, and the great jaws closed upon him. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, and was heard, in that he feared. On the third day the Lord God opened the lion's mouth, and brought forth his beloved son to glorious life, and the lion lay dead, death slain for ever by the perfect righteousness of Christ, and of the faithfulness of the God of heaven. It was as though Samson's three-day riddle had taken on a new meaning, the riddle he'd propounded concerning the lion he had slain. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. David, thankful for his deliverance, did not remain at Maon. He pushed further south, down towards En-Gedi by the Dead Sea. There was a fountain in those parts, and the water from the rocks gave life to the palms and vines which flourished in the tropical or subtropical heat. There were caves in the hillsides and rocky escarpments affording some protection to the refugees. The recently discovered caves of the Dead Sea Scrolls are an example of the many hiding places which this region contains. Qumran, however, is nearer the northern end of the Dead Sea than En-Gedi, which lies opposite the Midwest shore. There were flocks near the living water, wild goats on the rocks, and sheep on the lower slopes. Although less than 40 miles from Bethlehem, it was like another world. News of David's latest hideout reached Saul soon after his return from the battle with the Philistines. He took his standing army of 3,000 men and appeared at En-Gedi. As he passed by the sheepcot, he took rest in a place in the hillside, a cave in the rocks, but inside were David and his men. David's men were jubilant. This was obviously a providential meeting. Remembering all the prayers which David had offered for guidance, and knowing his complete trust in the overruling providence of the God in heaven, the men were certain that this was the day of complete deliverance. Behold the day of the Lord, which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thine hand. The pressures on David were tremendous, to have the king powerless in his grasp, and to let him go. It is remarkable that he did no more than cut away a portion of the king's outer robe, though he repented even of this but minutes later. As the king went away and was a distance from the cave, he heard, My lord, the king! David faced Saul, stooping in obeisance. There was little need for exchange of words. David held the proof in his own hand, and Saul in the garment on his body, that David's cause was righteous. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee. Saul was reduced to tears at the voice of his son David. He poured out the thoughts of his own heart, saying, If a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? The troops must have looked on in amazement, and David's men in sheer wonder at this remarkable exchange. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16 verse 7. And Saul then made known the conviction of his soul and the fear which chased him through all the labyrinths of melancholy and evil deeds. I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto God, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. So they parted, Saul and his men, through the heat to Gibeah of Saul, and David once more into the hold. Perhaps the harp sounded through the still night air at En-Gedi, carrying with it the song of deliverance. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. When my spirit within me was overwhelmed, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. My refuge fell me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 142.